Hello and welcome to We Make the Future, brought to you by PyTop. I'm your host, Andrew Webb, and in these audio interviews, I'll be meeting teachers, thought leaders, and scientists, and exploring the future of education, making, and technology. This episode is all about the world's first computer program and its author. Here's a taste of what's coming up.
The analytical engine has no pretensions to originate anything, but it can do whatever we know how to order it to perform, i.e. what we program. So she had this incredible foresight to think that computers, if we know what to ask of them, can be the tool of our imagination. Ada and Babbage were very into the horses.
In an alternate timeline, the first analytical engine could have been a kind of...
Beat the bookies.
Beat the bookies device.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Now today, November the 27th, 2018, marks 166 years since the death of Ada Lovelace. She was just 36 years old. Ada is the original woman in tech. She was the only legitimate child of the poet Lord Byron, and she excelled at mathematics and described her approach as poetical science. She associated with the likes of Faraday and Dickens, but it is her time spent with Charles Babbage working on his analytical engine, which is most intriguing. And so in this episode, we meet Zoe Philpott, whose one-woman show, Ada, 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 communicates Ada's life and work, culminating in turning the audience into a human computer. Here she is to tell us more. So, Zoe, tell us what led you to create Ada, Ada, Ada. What's it like to go and see as a show?
Ada, Ada, Ada is a one-woman show about the world's first computer programmer, Ada Lovelace. And we tell her story in her own words, using an LED dress and a lot of string.
Okay.
And the reason why Ada, Ada, Ada exists is to inspire more engagement in STEM, especially the girls and the women, but really to speak to everyone inclusively, because we want to develop culture. We want to normalize STEM as an inclusive environment, a diverse environment. So instead of the statistics you get now where it's ridiculously low, I think as low as 14% women, I think is one of the statistics that's quoted quite frequently in STEM, it's actually 50-50, because that's just normal. And we're also thinking about the wider inclusivity, but when we can really concentrate on women, that gives us a great shot at talking to 50% of those that may feel underserved and unwanted in the STEM industry. It's also particularly important on an economic level, because this industry is the future, where parents might have been suggesting to their youngsters in the 80s to be a lawyer and an accountant, yeah. They now should be suggesting be an engineer, because from inside the industry, you can tell it's growth, growth, growth. But what you're discovering in schools and also within the industry is that they're not getting the talent. The pipeline is relatively dry because people don't realize how engaging a career it is and how brilliant it is. So this brings me on back to Ada, Ada,
yes,
Ada.
Yes,
so I'm a storyteller that uses technology. Mm-hmm. So one way I can work with the teams I work with is to develop stories that really engage people, but tell a different narrative,
okay.
That tell a female narrative. And initially I was thinking that I would start with Ada Lovelace because she is a woman in tech. She's the original woman in tech, some might say. And it seems so pertinent that she be the great person to start talking about. Then I was going to do a new story each year. But then I realized that actually, even if I live to 140, I'll only scrape the surface of the amount of incredible people that happen to be women,
yeah,
that have shaped our world,
yeah,
that need to be brought to the forefront to act as role models for the future. So updating history is, luckily I'm not the only person doing this, but I do want to help update history with the missing stories. And Ada, Ada, Ada is this inspirational show that is going into schools, going into businesses, in conferences all around the world. And we also work with governments to help change the story, give an inspiration from a feminine perspective. We then supply the tools to immediately act on that inspiration.
You're giving them almost the new narrative, and you're saying, right, galvanized you into, you can see this now. And then you move on to the workshops.
Yes.
Just before we talk about the workshops, describe what happens in the show, because you mentioned that it's you do the show in Ada's own words. Are you using her diary extracts, or
there is very little known about Ada in real terms, because her mother was great at destroying correspondence to and from her because she was quite a wild child. And so where we can get her voice are in the letters that remain and the diary entries that remain, mainly correspondence between her and Babbage and her mother and Mary Somerville, as well of Somerville College fame in Oxford. And so I thought, well, instead of me making a description of Ada Lovelace, when there's so little to go on, why don't I present her in her own words so that people can then decide what she was like. And she is awesome. She is outrageous. She's incredibly intelligent. She's thinks in a way that other people weren't thinking at the time. And if she were alive today, she'd still be thinking in ways that we aren't thinking now, I'm sure. But I don't end there. So it's a storytelling with Ada in it. And so when Ada speaks, it's her own words. And then as a storyteller, the performer explains what she's talking about, because obviously she's not that easy to understand at times because she can be quite esoteric, and her use of language was not designed to be sort of displayed. It was in a letter to a friend. So what we also do is we take through her life. She performs her letters as extracts of her life. And then at the heart of it, we really get into her work and her work with Charles Babbage. He was the hardware man. She was the software person, and he was the hardware person.
I love it.
So he was an extraordinary inventor and mathematician, incredibly eccentric. At the time, she worked closely with him, and the two of them came up with the hardware and the software. And so what we do in Ada, Ada, Ada is we rebuild his original machine, the analytical engine, with string. So the audience become the world's first computer that was never built. And we run some sums. And it goes down a storm. And you'd think that maybe it's for the youngsters, but actually it is so effective with families and also with adults, because they then have to understand the mechanics of such a machine. And it's a scaled down model. Even in an audience of 500, it's a scaled down model because the actual analytical engine, which wasn't built, was actually the size of a battleship of the time.
Really?
Yes.
I know the Science Museum recreated a section, didn't they? Or they've got there was a calculus engine.
They've got a section of the difference engine, two, which is his first
laptop
idea. Well, it's a calculator.
Yeah.
That's the difference, is it's a calculator. What it does is extraordinary in its own right. It works on two numbers at a time and generates answers based on that. But it involved someone cranking a handle, and it also involved someone monitoring and resetting for each different sum. The analytical engine, which was mind-blowing in its advance, was a computer because it comprised of the three primary elements of a modern-day computer. You've got the store, which is the memory, so that's the RAM, and you've got the mill, which is the processor of a modern day computer. And you've got the printer, which that's like, yeah, a printer, but revolutionary, I assure you, in 1843, because it printed out all the calculations that the machine was doing while it did them, so that you didn't have to monitor what it was doing. You could see the answers at the end. So it was effectively the screen of a modern day computer. And where the real beauty in this invention is that it would be able to memorize in the store the answer. So it would compute on two numbers at a time, come up with the answer, and then store it to be used on a subsequent without anyone being involved.
So 2 + 2 = 4, it would store the 4, and then it could add another number to that 4 to get another sum. Okay.
Exactly. And it could do multiplication, division, subtraction, and addition. And this was steam powered, and borrowing from the Jacquard loom, which was actually first demonstrated in 1801, it used punched cards.
Yeah.
And the idea of using punched cards in calculators was an idea that was around at that time. What this machine had, and what the supremacy of Ada Lovelace's thinking, was orchestrating three number card readers, one to manage the numbers, one to manage the location of those numbers, and the third to manage which operations were performed on those numbers.
Okay.
And that was where her programming came in. And the way that it's recognized as an actual program, and that it's a complex program and doesn't have a forerunner as complex as this one, is that it has line by line instructions, making it an algorithm. It also has looping, and it also has conditional branching.
Tell us a bit about the dress, because I know that's a very key part of the performance, and it's quite an incredible creation. Tell us not only what it does, but how you made that.
Sure. Well, when we decided to do Ada, 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 and concentrate on Ada Lovelace, I was very keen that we create something that could be movable and could be performed anywhere. So it was definitely wearable technology that we were going to use. And also the other reason that led to why we've got the LED dress is because Ada Lovelace was an incredible future thinker and innovator. So it made sense to tell her story. We should turn up with some future thinking of ourselves and innovation. We decided on the LED dress that would be completely freestanding, and it effectively contains the set and the lighting rig for a show. So it was a way of going, we are here and we are impressive, before we've even started. So part of the entertainment that is Ada, Ada, Ada. And it also contained a story, because that was the point, was it's not just a show. The show is like the Trojan horse, but it's everything that surrounds it that makes it what Ada, Ada, Ada is and what we stand for. The first prototype used 0.5 kilometer of conductive thread. And I don't know if you've used conductive thread.
No. Nope.
But I'm sure there's a few people out there who'll be listening to this will have used it, and they will back me up when they say it's a nightmare to use in bulk.
Right.
So it disintegrates, it shorts. So we'd made this incredible dress, collaborating with the London Fashion School, hand-stitched with LED, hand-stitched with conductive thread, 500 plus LEDs multiple times to try and debug it.
Yeah.
And it only ever had one showing, because it would work and then it wouldn't work. And that's what we discovered. It was just completely not fit for purpose.
Yeah.
So the second prototype, we took all those learnings, because that's the beauty of working in technology, is you prototype, learn and redo. So it's all this learning through failure, which is absolutely liberating way to work and a fabulous outcome every time. So the second prototype, which we have now, has 4,400 LEDs, each uniquely addressable, which, if you think of a theatre rig, a local theatre might have 40.
Right.
A West End or Broadway will have maybe 400. Mm. So I effectively, in this dress, can do 11 Lion Kings, if I cared to, simultaneously.
So that means you can program each LED,
yes,
to do anything you like.
Absolutely. So each LED is from Adafruit, and it's their NeoPixel. It's all colours and anything you want, which is great. So we also collaborated with a period costume maker, Kat Behaig, who is amazing. And so we wanted it to be very authentic. This idea that Ada Lovelace was very real, and if she had imagined this dress, she would have made it. Mm-hmm. So this LED dress is, for insurance purposes, a bespoke computer housed in bespoke housing, because that's actually what it is. It weighs 10 kilos and it doesn't need to be the only one. We can recreate it. We're working with She Codes for Change in Tanzania at the moment,
right,
to make a version in Swahili. That's the plan, because the point is, it's the catalyst, it's the think different,
yeah,
the inspiration into action.
And how does the glove be part of that?
Yes, the glove operates the dress.
Right.
So it is a glove that is made by the glove makers to the Queen. No,
wow,
less. Yes, we wanted it. It all has to be wonderful and brilliant. Everything contains a story, and it takes the signal from the performer touching different fingers together through conductive fabric that then joins to a breakout, and the breakout turns it into a more stable wire that,
right,
then takes it back into the electronics that are housed within the dress. But it's that's operating the dress during the performance.
Tell us a little bit about Ada's life, because it's quite tragic, isn't it?
Ada's life is tragic, but it's also brilliant. She shone brightly, another reason why we use an LED dress,
yeah,
to tell her story. Her father was Lord Byron. She's the only legitimate daughter, or rather, she's the only legitimate child of the infamous poet. Her mother was Anne Isabella Milbank, and unusual for the time, she was actually a trained mathematician. Their marriage didn't last, no surprise there.
Mm.
And at just 5 weeks old, Ada was taken away by her mother and never saw her father again. And Annabella, her mother, was then adamant in removing the potential of scandal from her young daughter and she wanted to do this through avoiding any sort of creativity. Mm. So she was a complete advocate of mathematics. So she then trained and made sure Ada had the best instruction in mathematics.
To try and suppress Byron's, what we might term, creative passions.
Precisely.
He was like, I want to go down the logic route.
Absolutely. Well, luckily for us, Ada is completely brilliant at maths, but also retains her creativity.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
Because
it's how you try and suppress it, but actually it comes back and then teams up with the other thing and makes it twice as powerful.
Exactly, which is another testament to team working and the way that multi skills is a really good thing. This sort of creativity, abstract creative thinking with methodical problem solving is such a genius combination.
Yep.
I mean, you only have to look at Leonardo da Vinci to know that and many, many other people in history who have combined these things. So she grew up in this quite restrictive environment, young woman in the Victorian age. She was incredibly privileged. So we do know that she was able to do what she did largely because of her environment. But as a Victorian woman with a lot of intelligence, but also just as a Victorian woman, she was very, very, very bored. She met Babbage with the help of Mary Somerville and her mother's guidance in 1833 when she was very young, and they just clicked. And even though he was 23 years older than her, they really did just have this intellectual connection, which meant they started collaborating and letter writing. And they also allegedly discussed the idea of marriage. The reason that it didn't happen is because his money, though vast, was new money.
Really?
And so the aristocratic nature of Ada's heritage, it wasn't condoned by her mother. Her mother was both an enabler and an inhibitor. She was a very strong personality, but she also enabled Ada Lovelace. So Ada married a baron with lots of lineage, and the Lovelace earldom was bestowed upon him when Queen Victoria ascended to the throne. And that's how she became Ada Lovelace, Countess of Lovelace. And then she was in a quandary about what to use her time for. And she toyed with the idea of becoming a composer because she was a very good harpist. And that was a big passion. And of course, you know, computer science and mathematics goes very well with music.
You look at the work of Bach. And
Precisely. So it's not a million miles off why she wouldn't become a composer. Luckily for us, she chose to concentrate on her mathematics and started collaborating with Babbage, and he was working on the difference engine, but then he put that to one side. Ada then started working with him on the analytical engine, and he suggested that she do a translation of an essay that had been written about his talk on the analytical engine. So the essay was written by Luigi Menabrea, and he was an Italian writing in French based on just the ideas that Babbage had given at a lecture in Turin. So as a Victorian woman, she was also a linguist. That was part of what they expected. So she was to translate from French into English the Menabrea analysis. And Babbage then suggested, why don't you add your own thoughts as notes? And these notes ended up being, I believe, three times the length of the original essay. And these notes that have this ridiculously simple name, but they are incredibly impactful of what they contained, was where she had the space to think about the potential of a general purpose machine that could become the tool of human imagination, would be able to potentially create imagery and music. She talks about the analytical engine has no pretensions to originate anything, but it can do whatever we know how to order it to perform, i.e. what we program. And it shall weave algebraic patterns just like the Jacquard loom weaves flowers and leaves. So she had this incredible foresight to think that computers, if we know what to ask of them, can be the tool of our imagination.
And those ideas didn't surface again for another 100 years.
Well, this is it. Yeah. I mean, the most remarkable aspect of their incredible achievement in thought and engineering was that it was forgotten. And it was a whole 100 years before we reach Alan Turing and the Enigma, a whole 100 years before we reach the Mark One that IBM came up with in 1944.
So still using punch tape as an input system.
Yes, because that was the genius. You know, it's binary. It was Alan Turing who actually unearthed and published her work in 1950.
Yeah.
And it was in the context of artificial intelligence. And he actually talks about the Lovelace objection and about her saying that it's whatever we order it to perform, it can't do it by its own thinking.
Right.
And he was saying, well, the Lovelace objection is the idea that machines can't be thinking for themselves. And
do you think we're surpassing that now?
interesting. I'm still firmly of the belief that the machine learning is an algorithm.
Right.
Admittedly, when algorithms start creating their own algorithms, then maybe that's the machine thinking. But I think we've got a long way to go.
Yeah. So we're getting close on to the end of time. So just tell us about what happened at the end of Ada's life.
So Ada Lovelace, at the age of 28, completed the notes. It was incredible. She had immense ideas about all the things that she could think about. There's a wonderful letter where you can just imagine how painful it was being in a carriage with her for 8 hours while she expounded all her ideas. She's potentially in her element, in her prime. And then 6 years later, she's on her deathbed with, it's now diagnosed as uterine cancer. She is in incredible pain because the medication of the day is limited. She's already dabbled in opium through her laudanum prescription as well. But again, she was also a gambler in her time. Mm. A little aside, Ada and Babbage were very into the horses.
Right.
And at one point, they developed a mathematical system to win at the horses.
In an alternate timeline, the first analytical engine could have been a kind of...
Beat the bookies.
Beat the bookies device.
Yes.
Brilliant.
But unfortunately, she lost close to $500,000.
Wow.
Of today's money.
Yeah.
She's 34. She's diagnosed with uterine cancer. She's in excruciating pain. Her mother is suggesting that she avoids using opiates in favour of mesmerism, which is more about mind over matter. Mm. That doesn't work, obviously, in that context. And she dies this horrible, painful death. Her mother also prevents her seeing her friends. She asks Ada to repent her sins and confess to her husband all the things that she's done in her life. Husband effectively doesn't want to see her again after that. We don't know what was actually said, but she was an exciting lady, so I'm sure there was plenty to tell. And at the age of 36, the same age as her father was when he died. She died divorced from society in excruciating pain. And Babbage didn't attend the funeral.
Didn't he? Why not?
He'd fallen out with Ada's mother. And he thought that if the mother was there, then he shouldn't be there because it would be bad decorum. The mother didn't attend the funeral.
Did anybody go?
I think a few people went. There was a long obituary at the time, which does cite huge detail of who went. Ada did insist that she be buried next to her father. Mm. Which annoyed her mother tremendously, and that may be why her mother didn't go. She also bequeathed the possessions that Byron had left to her to a gentleman that wasn't her husband.
Controversial.
I know, this was Ada. And so she's buried next to her father, died at the same age he did. This is how misremembered Ada is. Her gravestone gives the wrong age. It says she's 37 when she died, because they thought she might last a couple of weeks longer and past her birthday. That's the idea that might be why this happened. Mm. But for me, that's so telling, because a woman that influential, that was not remembered, that now is being considered for a £50 note in Britain, it could be so misremembered, so easily forgotten, to think it's okay to do a gravestone and think, well, maybe we should redo it. It's not like they didn't have the money to redo it. No, it was fine to leave a gravestone that was wrong.
Yeah.
Because no one really cared.
It's such a tragic story, isn't it? It's got everything. And like you say, good stories have everything. It's got, you know, brilliance and then tragedy all in such
and
a short time.
Outrageous behaviour as well.
Fantastic. Where can people see Ada, Ada, Ada?
Well, Ada, Ada, Ada is hired. Yes. We work with the governments, with schools and with businesses. And so we tour to venues that need us. Mm. And the best way to find out where we are, there's occasionally public performances, and there seems to be a need more and more for public performances, so we are considering it for next year. But if they go to adatheshow.com, they will find out where we've been, where we're going, and how to bring Ada to you.
Love it. Zoe, thank you very much.
Been a pleasure. Thanks, Andrew.
Brilliant stuff. And if you like that, and you might also like episode 3 of We Make the Future, which is all about polymaths and gender balance in science, that's available on your favourite podcast app. If you'd like to find out more about Zoe's stage show, then visit adatheshow.com. That'll tell you the places where it's been performed, and you can maybe do that or book it to come to your institution or school. As I said, don't forget to subscribe via your favourite podcast app. Give us a review. 5 stars would be nice. If you'd like to appear on the show, or you think there's a story we should cover, then also do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. We're at GetPyTop on Twitter. That's probably the best way. That's all for this week. Next week, I'm exploring the future of food, of tech, and of the classroom. So come hungry, but come keen. I'll see you then. Goodbye.